Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
E-commerce business owners know a successful business keeps customers happy. That's why smart retailers use ShipStation. Turn shoppers into loyal customers with cheaper, faster, and better shipping. Manage all your orders and returns in one place and save up to 90% on rates from all the global carriers. Go to ShipStation.com/program to sign up for your free trial. No credit card required, and you can cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com/program.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Here's another look at the two sides of Karen Reed, as noted in that new documentary that's out on Max and Investigation Discovery. Let's take a look.
I think there's two versions of Karen Reed inside the courtroom. There's the version when the jury's present and the version when they're not. And when the jury is not present, Karen Reed is often looking back and talking to her family, who's sitting right behind her, laughing, making small talk with her attorneys. But when the jury is there, she is often very stoic, lips pursed to a degree, looking straight forward at the witness.
Before the jury comes in, she's posing for pictures with Yannetti and Jackson and these spectators who get to come in, and those are getting posted all over social media.
It was really quite unprofessional, the way they all carried on. A lot of giggling, a lot of fun.
Yes.
While John's family has to watch that.
There's a claustrophobic feel in that room. The defendant is maybe 4 or 5 feet away from us, so it was impossible to not notice Karen's demeanor. In between witnesses, during witness testimony, she would look over and mumble something to her counsel, and then she'd smile or laugh or turn around to her parents and roll her eyes.
Excuse me, this is funny, Ms. Reed? All right, we're done.
I'm sure the O'Keefes hate every minute of this. I'm sure they hate every time I turn around, but does not bother me sitting that close to John's family. I've done nothing wrong.
Despite very brutal evidence provided, where jurors were crying, there was not a single hint of emotion from Karen. Not a single moment did she show a modicum of sadness or loss. And that is telling.
Reaction to that.
The jury is always looking at how a defendant is presenting during the trial, how they're reacting to certain evidence. And you know, what could happen over time is in the next trial is that the prosecution could introduce some statements by Karen Reed that look really bad. And then Karen Reed's team could try to refute that by saying, no, she's pure as the driven snow and whatever. And then in rebuttal, the prosecution might be able to bring up this demeanor stuff, that this videotape reactions that we saw there to show like, no, she, you know, is not reacting how you would expect an innocent person to react. She's sort of cavalier. She's sort of acting in jest at certain points. And so, but you know, there is also a humanistic element that this case has gone on for years and you can't expect her to be dour the entire time.
True. And I can understand that to a certain extent where it's, you know, she is fighting for her life and you got to give her that. But at the same point, a life is gone and this family is sitting there crying and you're just so callously like, I don't care. I don't care what they think or feel. Like, okay, like part of this, her case has been based on the callousness of an officer of Proctor, and who's now been fired, of the horrible things he was saying, of the callous, cold things he was saying seemingly off the cuff when he thought he was just with his buddies talking. And it doesn't excuse any of it. She's sitting there talking to the Unsolved Mysteries doc crew, knowing this is going to go out there saying these sorts of things, knowing how hurtful. I mean, I think anyone would understand how hurtful that is unless you don't possess empathy, which I'm wondering if Karen Reed might be a bit lacking in, or just it doesn't process up there, because this is just, I don't know. I mean, it's shocking to have that little self-awareness of yourself, especially when you're in this high profile of a situation. Are they just drinking up the free Karen Reed Kool-Aid a bit too much and they've just gotten drunk on it?
Tony, you know, certainly out of touch, aloof. How can she not understand the impact that some of those statements and some of those and her demeanor is going to have on other people? And on top of that, you know, it hurts her defense because they sort of have this or were able to establish this sense that, hey, the governor was being kind of cruel. Like they're being kind of underhand and shady and really big jerks about this and the way they're talking about Karen Reed, that kind of thing. And oh, she's just this little innocent person who did nothing wrong. But this is a counterbalance to that. This undercuts that notion by showing that Karen Reed might have some personality issues and the jury is starting to feel a lot less sorry for her.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the witness list come up of who they're going to be calling, and it looks like, you know, the same folks from last time for the most part. But you got this now. This can be countered. I mean, everything with Proctor can now be countered with, I'd almost say, worse things. Worse, more hurtful ways of looking at this and handling this. And again, it's like we're not even arguing the principle anymore of did she or did she not hit him. It's like the character of Karen Reed, which is not on trial. But it sure says a lot, which I think inadvertently could damn her. Way more than she needed to be damned for something that I don't think can necessarily be proven that she actually hit him. Let's talk about Proctor for a second. Obviously, he's been fired finally. How does that weigh on any of this? And how do you think they're going to try and spin that into this trial? How will it affect this thing going forward?
You know, I think the prosecution is going to object to the fact of the firing coming into evidence, but I think it's probably coming in because he was fired based in part on how he handled the investigation and just this case. And so I think the jury's going to get to hear about that. And that looks pretty darn bad mm-hmm. when you have, you know, a high level law enforcement official who worked on a case, who's trying to sell you an idea, get fired from their job because of how they horribly mishandled aspects of the case. The jury's going to hate it.
Yeah. In the documentary as well, we're not even going to go through all these other clips, but there's a lot of contradicting statements in here of her initially saying, you know, did I hit him? How did I hit him? All that, every variation of it, to then, and still somewhat seemingly questioning that it seems in some moments of this doc where it's not even necessarily super old footage. It's for the doc. And then, you know, just as fast going, I'm 100% sure I did not hit John O'Keefe. But at the same time going, I don't know, I might not have known. I had the music blasting. All these logical reasons why she maybe didn't know. I mean, the fact that she also didn't remember dropping him off initially, and now her story is, I saw him walk in the house, which that was never part of the story, but now that's the story. Again, it contradicts herself quite a bit, and these are contradictions that did not necessarily come to light in the first trial either. So all of that is, I guess, up for grabs as well.
It seems like she thinks she's making her case better, but she's actually making it worse. She thinks she's making it better by saying, hey, I 100% did not hit him. But I think it might be more believable to folks, her prior position where she's like, hey, I don't think I did, but I don't know for sure. And there was stuff going on. It was chaotic and horrible and traumatic and everything else. And gosh, I just don't know what happened. That seems more human and believable than someone who is being sort of obstinate in some position. Oh, 100% didn't hit him. Well, you don't know for sure.
Was the biggest mistake in this whole case, her defense, going down this road of they beat him up in the house and they drug his body out to the end of the yard, again, without much evidence? Wouldn't it have just been stronger to say she doesn't remember? Look at the history of these two. Look at their love for each other. Yes, you know, it's a volatile relationship, but there wasn't necessarily abuse or anything. It was just kind of coming to its time, but no one here is showing any evidence that she was capable or had any intention to kill or hurt him. Wouldn't it have been just stronger to be like, she doesn't know, she doesn't remember, she was blackout drunk. Yeah, she should be held for drunk driving without a doubt. But there's not enough evidence to show a vehicle strike either. Wouldn't that have just been just as strong of an argument rather than going down this fantastical road? I feel like going down that road is what is really going to hurt Karen Reed more than even the damn death of John O'Keefe of spinning this tale.
In determining defense strategy, you have to consider believability. And it's easy to get wrapped up in like, oh, is there this conspiracy where these cops somehow beat up and killed a fellow cop and left him out in the cold to die, and they're trying to pin it on his girlfriend? You know, that might be intriguing in a sense, but that's a tough sell to a jury. That's a high bar to try to convince somebody that happened, especially when there's really an absence of demonstrable evidence supporting it. And so, gosh, it might make more sense to go with something that is more simple, more believable, that would resonate with these jurors much more than this fantastical story that they're trying to sell.
And I was surprised of just how this all kind of came about too, because it's a story of this gravelly voice that comes in and has this idea that you need to look at the people in the house. Okay, I can get that, especially there had been a lot of issues with the police in that area for quite some time. So I get one going, look at them too. But when there's nothing there, we go down this extreme road and she's so hell-bent on, oh my gosh, this is what actually happened. We know what happened. It's her choice, ultimately, what road they go down, is it not? So she must have chosen this path. It wasn't just the attorneys going, hey, I think we should do this.
It's usually a collaborative decision. Ultimately, the biggest decisions in a trial do rest with the defendant themselves. Now, the lawyer has input regarding legal strategy, but what you really risk with something like this is the jury feeling like you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes. You're trying to deceive them. You're trying to trick them into thinking something for which there is not sufficient evidence likely. And that can cause a jury to overreact in a worse way against the defendant as opposed to helping the defendant.
Here is her reaction. This is a short clip, basically right at the beginning of all this when they started going down the road of third-party culprits. Let's take a look.
The Pills were the only ones fighting for the truth of what happened to John O'Keefe.
Carol, just to be clear, you didn't do it.
We know who did it, Steve. We know. And we know who spearheaded this cover-up. You all know.
Yes, we do.
And no, she didn't do it. No, she didn't do it. This is an innocent woman.
Notice she doesn't say no. You didn't do it. And no, she didn't do it. You forgot that part, Karen. No, she didn't do it. It felt like a movie. I mean, it literally looks like a movie. You couldn't ask for a better clip like that. But just very much, we know who did it, Steve. Really? Do we?
That's the thing is you can overplay your hand in the legal game. And, you know, maybe you have evidence that casts doubt on what happened and who did what. That's much more acceptable than saying, oh, no, we know who did it for sure. But then, you know, lo and behold, at the trial, that's not really how it shook out.
It's going to be interesting to see how this one shakes out with round two.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.